About a week ago, my wife and I were getting ready for bed, and I asked her a question. I said, "Why do we like this church so much?" And we started to answer that question. It didn't take very long. What took longer was to go back and remember everything that we said and then to write them all down. We have 19 reasons why we are so fond of this church, and I've decided I'd like to read them to you this morning. You play well together. The picnic, the games, the night, the games night, the potlucks, Yaha Tinda, the dramas. You play well together. You like each other. You fellowship well. You enjoy each other's company. Your Sunday school leaders are top-notch. They consistently produce a quality program. You have excellent youth workers in Dave and Phil Reed. The church has a lot of creativity. You care about this community. You care about how the community is doing. And you care about your testimony in this community. Your music is excellent. We have quality musicians. And we do music well. Our ladies' Bible studies are excellent. And so is the ladies' Christian fellowship group. And you have great teamwork. You know how to work together. You're willing to try new things. And you are brave. You will do it again, even if you have been deterred by past disappointments. You'll try it again. You pray. You're a praying church. And you really care about each other. I said to Barb, "I'm scared of getting sick, because if I do, you won't leave me alone. I'll be loved to death." You're loyal, loyal, loyal. The church is a true family. You have open arms. You embrace others. You are generous. You're generous with your time. You're generous with your love. And you're generous with your money. If it's hard, you're cautious. But you're not afraid to do it. I guess in that respect, we could say that you're tough and you're resilient. You'll fill the slots. You take up a challenge, even if you feel inadequate for the job, which means, again, that you're brave. Now, I suppose that there are a whole lot more things that could be said, and we could probably double this list in no time flat at all. This is Cremona Congregational Church. But there's something that we need to say about how you got this way. It didn't come by accident or by coincidence or by happenstance. You have become this way by divine design and divine intention. Now, let's be careful that we don't get the notion that we have arrived, or that there isn't significant work that the Lord has for us and to do in us. There is. God has great plans for our spiritual growth and maturity. But the point is that our history, both good and bad, are instruments of the potter. The events of our lives become the very marks that God uses to make us useful in the hands of our Creator. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11 says, I thank my God every time I remember you, in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Barbara and I have shared our story with you some months ago. We shared with you about how Barb went through four major surgeries in 2006 and 2007. And two of those were open heart surgery. And during that period of time, we were pastoring in Stony Plain, Alberta. And Barbara wrote a letter to the congregation after one of her surgeries. And I think this illustrates the point that we're putting forward this morning. And so I want to read to you an edited version of that letter. She writes, Hi everyone. Thank you so much for your prayers for me. They really have made a difference. The surgery went well and I had excellent pre-op and post-op care. I'm blessed to have excellent surgeons and specialists looking after me. They kept me monitored well. My blood pressure plummeted, so I have to speak with my cardiologist and see what to do regarding my medication. My MS makes me vulnerable to illness, especially coughs and colds, which I can't shake for months, and they won't operate unless I am 1 month free of any cough or cold. That is why I am hoping for a June operation date. I will pray to the end that the Lord will have his full way with me, as I trust in his well-being for my life, and as your prayers are so effective, I ask you to once again remember Larry and I before the Lord regarding my health. I have so enjoyed the book by Henry Nouwen, Turn My Mourning Into Dancing. I trust it will bless you as much as it has me. If you are interested, I have enclosed just a couple of meaningful passages. Henry Nouwen says, We see how the events of this year are not just a series of incidents and accidents, happy or unhappy, but the molding hands of God who wants us to grow and mature. Time has to be converted then from chronos, mere chronological time, to kairos, a New Testament Greek word that has to do with opportunity, with moments that seem ripe for their intended purpose. He talks about retrospect. We first look backward to see how our lives' seemingly unrelated events have brought us to where we are. We pause to discern God's presence in the events that have made us or unmade us. For by not remembering, we allow forgotten memories to become independent forces that have a crippling effect on our functioning and relating and praying. Forgetting the past is like turning our most intimate teacher against us. It is to guarantee that we cannot find the way to trust and hope. Sorting through memories means holding painful recollections in a certain way. But memory never copies the past. It brings the past into the potentially healing present. It breathes new life into a bygone reality and replaces it with a new context. Memory also reminds us of the faithfulness of God in the hard places and joyous moments. It lets us see how God has brought good from even impossible situations. Remembering in this way allows us to live in the present. It does not mean to live in another time, but to live in the present with our whole history, with an awareness of the possibilities we might not otherwise think to look for. Memory, therefore, has much to do with the future. Without memory, there is no expectation. Those who have little memory have little to expect. Memory anchors us in the past and then makes us present here and now and opens up for us a new future. Have yourselves a wonderful week. Sorry this is a little long, but I've missed keeping in touch. All my love, Barbara. Romans 8:28-30 says this, "And we know that all things work, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Our history, our wounds, our life events, our experience all join together to make us who we are. It is the Lord Jesus Christ stamping his own image deep on our hearts. It is his way of making us like him.